The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander. Kelly is behind the glass, ladies and gentlemen, because it is time for Fezzik Fridays. Let's go.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Fezzik Fridays, starring the great Steve Fezzik, and by great I mean the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. Of course, he's won many other contests, of course, since then, but it is apropos that we highlight that one this week. Steve, good morning to you, sir.
And another one bites the dust as the Caesars is going to take over the Westgate Superbook. You know, there was a time, like in the year 2000, I think there was over 30 independent sports books in Nevada alone. And now I think we're, you know, right around 10, 12. It just keeps dropping.
Just keeps dropping. You have some thoughts on this. On the Westgate specifically?
It's a complicated situation, and I don't want to not mention, you know, there's good, hardworking people that are have done a great job at the Westgate, but the truth is there's a movie, Danny DeVito, Other People's Money, where Danny DeVito comes in and he says, your company is dead. Don't blame me. I didn't kill it. New England Copper and Cable, and what happened, the Circa just did what Westgate did, and they did it better, frankly. And they came in, and they just took the marketplace over, and it's always easy to look back on what went down. But, you know, the Westgate had a monopoly on all these contests. They did such a great job. They have such a great staff. And then they started charging a VIG, and they started, you know, charging a tax on all the bettors at absolutely the wrong time. And within a couple of years, the Westgate was the World Series of sports betting. The Super Contest, it is no longer.
Yeah.
Circa Millions is the World Series of sports betting, and Circa Survivor is the premier contest. And kudos to Circa. But those, you know, the Westgate guys, super sharp. I have a story with Ed Sammons. Ed Sammons indirectly really helped my career because I was in the Stardust Invitational. Ed, super sharp guy at the Westgate. It's like 2004. We're meeting in the first round. And I have a miserable first round. And so people are just throwing me under the bus on the internet. Can you imagine that? This is long before I've won any contests, all right? And Ed just had a miserable week also. So I was like a guy like in Q school that just had such a bad round. I like threw my driver into the lake, took my ball, went home, was driving home. And so I was like, well, what's this? You know, someone gets a hold of me. You advanced. No, you advanced. You're into the next round. And I went 7-0 the next week.
Oh, wow.
Would never have gone 7-0. Would never have had that opportunity had Ed not struggled. And my 1-5-1 would have gone down as this guy has no idea what he's talking about the week before.
So you just complimented Ed Sammons by saying because he had a bad week, it started your career off.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And the odds of me advancing against someone good like Ed,
yeah,
you know, obviously were like 3%.
Let's just talk about it broader, because Crack was here yesterday. He actually thinks part of the reason Caesars, if not the main reason Caesars got him, is because of the Super Contest. He thinks that was a big reason why they...
Makes so much sense. You got the World Series of Poker. Why not take over the Super Contest brand, rebrand it, charge a rake, because no one seems to care. Like Crack and John Orlando are always talking about... John Orlando famously plays in the World Series of Poker events, and he's like, I don't care what the rake is. It's a lot of fun. And
plus, you could scale right. You could do it in multiple states if you're Caesars, or if the laws relax, maybe national. Who knows?
If you could do it nationally, all of a sudden, the Circa Millions no longer becomes the biggest contest. Now, the Westgate. Imagine if you get to incorporate the East Coast and everything else.
Oh man,
where a sky is the limit. We're not talking, you know, 1,000 entrants or 6,000 entrants. We're talking 20,000 entrants.
Let me ask you about this, because I asked Crack at its peak, because now we were counting. I left out the win. So it's 10 different sets of lines in
Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
What was the peak?
I think it was 26.
26.
And, you know, just off the top of my head, it depends what you define as Las Vegas. Do I get to count Prim? Do I count Mesquite? Do I count, just driving around like the the rim of the valley.
Does 26 include them, or makes it over 26?
No, they're 26 with those. But with those, I mean, just okay. little places people forget about, yeah. like the Landmark, the Showboat, Sink the Boat. Go on up to Rampart when they first opened up, had their own book. Arizona Charlie's had their own book. And all of these places, the old Aladdin security chased me out of there one day. You know, Imperial Palace with their with their
How
independent
many casinos
props.
Has security chased you out of, by the way?
You know what? That was the only one.
The only one. Okay.
I mean, the Arizona Charlie's West had security escort me out, but the Aladdin was the only one
that, was nice
that they like, sir.
Yeah.
Sir. And they're running after me. And I'm like, and I know the drill. Like when security's behind you, you walk fast. You don't run. You walk very fast for the exit. So I get to the exit. And back then, the Aladdin, it was elevated. The sidewalk is like 10 feet above Las Vegas Boulevard, which is like 9 lanes, right? And there's like an 8-foot vegetation drop. And I'm literally going through the landscaping to get to the safety of the boulevard to cross the street while security is behind me.
I'm surprised you didn't start with this, but I know you. I know once I trigger this, you'll go off on this, which is because Greg and I alluded to it yesterday also with the Westgate. What is this? Do you view it as we did yesterday, which is it's probably some corporate heads, right, who are always like holding over these guys. Oh, we need more money. We need you guys to make more money. We need you guys to make more money. And what I was talking about yesterday was, despite the fact that the sports book, when they look at a pie of money, they see it as a sliver, right? The bean counters view it as a sliver. The fact is that sports is such a unbelievable marketing billboard for casinos.
100%. And, you know, I'll throw Fontblue and Resorts World under the bus here. These yeah. corporate suit dummies calculate everything in terms of how much are we making per square foot?
Per square, yeah, even down to that.
So let's have no poker room or a tiny poker room. And let's have no sports book. Oh, hey, we'll put, even though, like, you look at Resorts World, one of the worst run casinos imaginable, and they put the sports book in the barbecue. It's in the back of a barbecue. This is at the site of the old Stardust. People were so excited about, like, the Stardust was a book that specialized in sports betting, and they threw it in the back of a barbecue. And it's like just putting their middle finger up to everyone who was, you know, who's been in Vegas for 30 years saying, basically, we don't care about you. And also, these sports bettors, these poker players, they got wives, they got girlfriends, they got friends. They're staying there, and then guess who's playing slots? And the book is making all this money. And now you go into those places, you shoot a cannon, don't hit nothing, because they have no customers. And Green Valley figured this out. I give a lot of credit to Green Valley. They took out their poker room. Now it's back in. You know what? You don't need to make money. It's the rising tide lifts all the boats.
You are not the biggest NFL draft bettor in the world, but you have thoughts on this.
You know, it's another example of I won on the draft, and I feel sick. I'm driving, and I feel like I lost because I didn't win enough.
You're
because
right.
Everyone I spoke to won. Like
yes.
I everybody won. No one lost. And
Kelly said he lost a ham sandwich.
That's because Kelly's working on his blackjack game. It's getting better. That's good.
The idea is
that Kelly, you're still not. I check with the folks at the end. They say you're still not welcome, and don't even think about.
He's not even here to defend himself.
Go there. Exactly. But he will be.
Yes, he will be.
Look no further. Now there, we obviously we talk about ping ponging bets. Okay.
Yes.
Where we talk about, oh, who's going to go second? Is it going to be Reed? Is it going to be Bailey? But for every bet like that, there were bets like, I mean, when it first opened, Mendoza was like, pick 'em to be the number one pick.
Jeremiah Love under 5.5.
Jeremiah Love under
example.
5.5, -110, -180, -250, -330. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't pay the vig when it's a sure thing. Offensive lineman over 7.5. You know, my friend Jared Smith put me on that. But everyone was on that. And so it closes like -460. Easy peasy winner. So there's so many for every, you know,
over 1.5 quarterbacks.
Like some people are still, and this is an interesting thing where normally any other aspect, and this is why these Hall of Fame bookmakers get their teeth kicked in on this stuff, the normal rules don't apply. And so how in the world could you justify playing over 1.5 quarterbacks -250 when you could have bet at -105 just a week or 2 weeks before, because it's predetermined, as the movie Wall Street,
I don't know what to make of it, Gordon. The quarterbacks over 1.5 are up to minus 250. I'll tell you what's going on. Your Union boys are talking, and Simpson's going in the top 60, and you had them under 24.5 at like plus 240.
Plus 300. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And you're like me also. I mean, some people are qualified to talk about evaluating the players. I am not interested in doing that because I don't even pretend to think that I know who's going to be good. You have some idea what the best
players.
And you're
evaluating the GMs. You're not evaluating any players. It's your evaluation of their evaluation.
It's a pet peeve of yours as well, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the evaluation. And then, of course, your other pet peeve when it comes to the draft is, this is your pet peeve when it comes to anything.
Uh-oh.
But specifically with the draft. You know what I'm getting at?
No.
You are particularly, you wince every time, because you have to understand, you don't listen every day. So some people give out their picks previously in the week.
Yeah, right. So the pass posting, whenever, like, if I had my druthers, okay?
Yeah.
Even if Gil Alexander has given me 10 tennis plays multiple times on your show, all right?
Uh-huh.
And they're all pick 'em, right? And now they're all minus 200. For me, it doesn't do me any good to even get a summary anymore. It's like, because I'm a busy man. What do you like against the current numbers?
But
that's
what I will say in the tennis example. I will say, don't play it anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I personally, my pet peeve is those that they talk about bets that they have that they never told anybody. And they said, oh, I got this team minus 3, and the line's minus 5. And they have never disclosed, they've never given it out on the site. And it's like, of course you're going to win. You know, guess what? I got the other guys plus 7. You know, it's just, and my number one pet peeve in my industry that I'm in, there's people who always win. They have documented, you know, year after year, because they just make up numbers that, like, no one could ever bet.
Oh, that's the worst one. Where was that available?
It's rampant.
Nowhere. Fezzik, more next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL and NBA playoffs are here, and this is one of the best stretches of the sports betting calendar. If you're betting right now, having the right information makes all the difference. Witness Chris Velika and Ty Simpson to the Rams. Sign up for our spring special. Get full access through August 1st for a one-time payment of just $59. That takes you through the NBA and NHL Finals, World Cup, the Kentucky Derby, the U.S. Open, Wimbledon, and more. Sign up today. Get instant access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools plus 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, and at just $59. That's 50% off the regular monthly price. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm going to read a couple tweets because we've got a whole bunch more with Chris to get to. Bruce Dobigan, thanks for the Carnell Tate double. First receiver in under 8.5. And Caleb Downs over 9.5. If only Saints had jumped on Tyson, hearing the Bills are trading back again into the 8th round. Note about the Bills, because you see, Kelly, the joke there is there's only 7 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't take any credit for the Carnell Tate thing. I had no idea where he was going. I will take credit for the Caleb Downs part of that. Rules for society. Nuggets have no chance without being whole in this series or any future ones. Also, not that it matters, but shouldn't Najee be starting instead of Jones with AG out? No, Val was curious to the way Rudy was dominating inside. Gonna burn my Nugs futures now. Great show.
Yeah, it's not a lot of
punctuation in that tweet, but
tough
thank
situation.
You.
But overall, we were laughing about the defense stuff. But Aaron Gordon out of that game. No Peyton Watson already. They are very limited on what they can
but
do.
But Rudy Gobert had himself a game defending Jokic
again. I mean,
yes,
what, 3 in a row.
Chris Velika, the Bear from Fox Sports, joins us once again. All right, Chris. Guys, let's hold this screen off. Let's let him get through all of it because I don't want to tip his hand.
Before we get onto that, should we be betting the Spurs either to win the West or the NBA title?
I already have, young man. Many moons ago.
We've got that. Will and I have that great 45-1 from May when we thought they were getting Giannis, but with Jalen Williams being out, Wemby's not traveling to Phoenix unless he's playing, right, Kelly?
Yeah, I would think so.
Like, might be a good time to get in on this and get in on the West. I mean, the Nuggets are done. I mean, they can't defend anybody and they can't stay healthy. Like, I don't know. Just throwing that out there as well.
No, I think it's completely fair.
It's music to my ears.
I would almost wait. I don't know what's Chris. I guess I would be shocked if he plays tonight, but who knows? I would almost maybe wait after this game. Maybe they drop one here and you even get a longer number on them. But that's just getting just getting greedy.
What's the official Wemby status for Game 3?
Questionable right now.
Questionable.
Okay. I mean, and I think they're gonna sit on that for as long as they can, right?
Yeah. By the way, Chris meant Portland, not Phoenix, right? Yeah, okay. To college football.
I'm sorry.
College football, you have a season win total. You've been sort of dropping these on us slowly. What's the next one?
Yeah, I'm in my midst of driving up to Massachusetts to bet the draft. They have season win totals up there at FanDuel. And I've been Michigan under 8.5. Look, I think there's a very good chance that Michigan loses 5 games. I mean, I don't think there's ever a grace period at Michigan, but given all the situation that it with Sharon Moore and what went on there, I don't think too many people would be terribly upset at 7-5. Look, I'm not sold. Bryce Underwood is the guy moving forward. He struggled mightily last year against the really good teams. If you look at the 4 teams that they played last year that wound up finishing ranked, they lost all of them by double digits. The talent level, I think, has certainly slid there. They don't have a lot of difference makers at wide receiver. I think running back, they're in good shape. Offensive line, eventually, they'll be okay. But I still think they're a step below Oregon and Ohio State, both on the road. Those are likely losses. You've got a game against Indiana, which is probably a loss. You've got coin flip kind of games against Oklahoma, Iowa, Penn State, Minnesota. I think 7-5 is on the table this year for the Wolverines. And I just realized I forgot to tell you as well. I think I mentioned it on Bear Bets. You can parlay. You can do same game parlays at FanDuel. At least you could in Massachusetts when I did it the other day. Odds to make the college football maker, miss the college football playoff. You can throw a 3-teamer. Miami, Notre Dame, Oregon to make the college football playoff. That 3-teamer categorizes the same game parlay plus 117.
Wow. Who has those now? Who allows you to
FanDuel
do that?
FanDuel has.
Okay. Advocate Skirmish allows you to do that. All right. To the National Football League draft. On the heels of your Ty Simpson to the Rams call and other bets that you were able to hit on yesterday, it was a good draft for all of us. Great, again, having you on the podcast with Drew and Luke. I hope everybody listened to it and made out on it. You are not done. You've got some stuff tonight. You can bet these at DraftKings. You can bet these in prediction markets. These are still available. The draft is not done. What do you got?
Yeah, the prediction market, the price on what I was able to get on Carson Beck here is skyrocketed through the roof, and I probably had something to do with that. But Carson Beck is going to be the next quarterback off the board. I feel very, very, very confident in that. So whatever the best price you can get on that, I would play that. When I betted it was like minus 140, and now, at least on the prediction markets, it's gone through the roof. So check whatever outs you have to see the best price you can get. I'm told that there was almost a trade back into the first round for him last night, Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell him that.
I knew that was going to hurt.
Don't tell him that.
Probably shouldn't have said it, but I was accused of being too nice before, so I figured I had a little twist of the knife there, but yeah.
100 to 1, right? 100 to 1.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The same people that were telling me about Ty Simpson going to the Rams are the people that are telling me about Carson Beck going very early tonight. So he's going to be the next quarterback off the board. If you can find, like, exact pick, I mean, Arizona at 34 is the logical spot, but being that San Francisco has the first pick now tonight in the second round, and they've traded back already a couple of times, like, why wouldn't they trade back again if a team like the Jets, Steelers, the Vikings, the Dolphins, like, all these teams have kind of been linked to Carson Beck? Maybe there's a trade up, and then he goes 33rd. You get, like, 35-1 that he's the first pick tonight.
Man.
So there are ways to play this, but – and also on the prediction markets, they had a position, a draft position over under 90.5. Like, he's going tonight.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, there weren't any contracts available left when I was looking at that, but it was disappointing that I wasn't able to get more of that. So he had Carson Beck, first quarterback taken tonight, third overall quarterback taken in the draft. player analyst picks 33-34 as well.
I love it. Okay.
I was accused of being too nice earlier. No, never make that accusation again, Chris. Painful.
All right, let's close it with a few minutes of sports talk radio here because everybody does their...
Now I'll get my sports talk radio.
Let's do it. So everybody on mainstream media, they do winners and losers. Kelly and I, we always say it. They say, we're just trying to win money on the draft. We're not talent evaluating, though we all have our favorite players. I'm so glad that Sonny Styles ended up with Washington. But you watch college football as closely as anybody. Who did you think? You're much more qualified. Who do you think won or did very well, and who, conversely, did you think didn't do so well?
I think the Giants, I mean, it's a lot easier to do well when you have two top 10 picks like they did.
Sure.
But they did nothing. They sat there, and they got arguably the best defensive player in the draft in Arvell Reese at 5. They got arguably the best offensive lineman in the draft at 10 in CeCe Magoa. Like, that is a home run type draft for John Harbaugh. And I think we were talking about this earlier in the week. Like, all of the talk about Jordan Tyson going to the Giants at 5. Like, John Harbaugh was never going to take an off-injured wide receiver with his first pick as head coach of the New York. It just wasn't going to happen. So I think the Giants did really well. I think the Commanders did awesome.
Yes.
A team that you didn't do anything. You are making mistakes in front of me.
Amazing.
I will just take the really good player that's there. Reuben Bain to the Buccaneers. I mean, Reuben Bain was a more productive college player this year than David Bailey was. And because, his arms might be an inch or two shorter. Like, come on. Well, watch him play football. Watch what Reuben Bain did to Ohio State in the college football playoff and other teams throughout and Notre Dame early. Like, it's just ridiculous. These teams just overthink things. So those are the positives. The negatives, look, I like Jeremiah Love, and we had him third to the Cardinals, but it still doesn't mean that I like the pick there.
I agree.
Now we'll see what happens forward if they're able to add to that. I don't get what Tennessee did at all. I am a Carnell Tate fan. He's a great route runner. He's available, great hands. But it's always easier to say in retrospect, like, would you rather have had Carnell Tate at 4 and having to trade back into the first round to get Falk, who's kind of mercurial, up and down, not always productive? Would you rather have that combination at wide receiver, pass rusher, or defender? Or would you rather have had Arvell Reese or Sonny Styles at 4?
That's exactly.
And then at the top of the second round and still have your second round pick there, take one of the wide receivers that are available still out there right now. I would have rather have had the latter, but that's just me. I thought that was a bad deal by Tennessee. And I didn't get the Vikings taking Caleb Banks at all. Again, a guy who is productive when he's on the field, but he is not always healthy. I was really surprised that they went Banks instead of Caden McDonald from Ohio State.
Chris, always a pleasure. On behalf of many who rode the Ty Simpson Rams train, thank you from all of them as well.
You got it. I'm glad it worked out for everyone.
Chris Velika, everybody. The Bear from Fox Sports. Coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Free picks backed by real analysis. That's Just Win Bets, baby. Mathematical models and AI-driven best bets across NFL, college hoops, NBA, NHL, UFC, soccer, and more. Plus a live weekend preview every Friday. Subscribe to YouTube, follow on X, and get their free daily best bets newsletter at justwinbetsbaby.com. You can scan the QR code for more. They already had Wyatt Tomchek on. Apparently Kelly Bidley is going on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I'm going on too. I guess so.
Yeah, they're trying to get
you. We appreciate all the invites. We really do. JustWinBetsBaby.com. We get tweets beating the book. I'm just gonna rifle. These are all people just going nuts over their draft wins. But here's some new ones. Dan Groeschel is a fan of the Packers. I watched a win now team take a quarterback in round one twice. To quote the biggest headache in the NFL, Rams fans need to relax. Relax. It's a great point by Dan Groeschel.
Yep.
It really is. And I've always said on this show, back in the day when I was a kid, the thing was you got to hold the clipboard for 2 or 3 years. And I'll just use my Washington Redskins, right? Trent Green ended up being solid NFL quarterback, got to hold the clipboard for 3 years. Mark Rippon was a Super Bowl MVP, got to hold the clipboard for multiple years. Stan Humphries got to hold the clipboard for a few years, ended up in a Super Bowl with the Chargers. Jordan Love got to hold the clipboard for a few years. And people are like, oh, he stinks. No, he got to hold it for a few years. You don't get to see that these days. He's actually a pretty darn good NFL quarterback now. So you never know. If Ty Simpson is afforded that luxury, maybe he ends up that way as well. And if you're Dan Orlovsky, you already think he's great.
Yeah. The
let's not act like we know stuff. It's a good tweet by Dan.
No, it's a great tweet. And like I heard Traeger this morning, you know, kind of explaining it for the Rams, right? Of, hey, you made your win now move earlier by getting Trent McDuffie in the building. And this is, you don't plan to be picking this high ever again. So you go grab the kid now, quarterback now, while there's other teams not running after him. Look, if you like him that much, it's hard to argue. And the one thing I'm getting a little tired of here these past couple years, Gil, is we keep saying, well, yeah, next year's draft class, though. And it's like the past couple years, that has not panned out. It has not looked as good come draft day as it looked the year before.
We had a couple more of those, by the way. Kevin Ryan said Gil to the Rams fans complaining about the Simpson pick. The same was said about the Knicks pick 2 years ago. Talk about Bo Nix. Mickey Baca, Rams taking Ty Simpson reminds me of when the Packers took Jordan Love instead of getting the Rodgers wide receiver help. Rodgers went on to win back-to-back MVPs. Does a Stafford MVP ticket interest you, he says. And Kelly, how are we feeling about the Knicks in a bounce-back spot on Saturday? Well, hold that thought. Hold that thought. This is the last thing. It's throwing stuff
now.
That's
how I feel about it.
It's throwing stuff. I almost didn't say stuff, by the way. Here's the last thing on the NFL draft for now. We'll get back to it later. But here's just some of the big tickets, some of them. Tate to go fourth was 15-1. I don't know a human being who even uttered it, let alone had that bet.
Danny and I were put together this list this morning. I'm like, I expected this number to be longer.
Me too. When I just saw the 15-1, Arvell Reese going fifth overall pick +850. Jensen said he got a 50-1 on this. Jensen said he had a 50-1.
Yeah, just timing. Timing. Yep. Yeah, this was yesterday closing odds. I think
Mansoor Delaney goes sixth. Happened via trade to the Chiefs, 28-1. Ty Simpson 13th. Ty Simpson's 13th specifically, 15-1 to be drafted by the Rams was +550. Although Felica gave that out, it was much higher than that. Reuben Bain Jr. 15th overall, 18-1. Kenyon Sadiq to be drafted by the Jets, which is where he ended up, the lone tight end in the first round at 13-1 out of Oregon. All right, to the National Basketball Association and specifically to that Knicks game yesterday. That was the first of the triple header yesterday, and the Atlanta Hawks have themselves a 2-1 lead in their first round best of seven series, the 6-3 series in the Eastern Conference, where remember the Hawks wanted this matchup. So we'll spend the most time on this game because the other two were kind of straightforward. But Atlanta was down 9-6. They went on an 11-0 run to make it 17-9 early. Hawks matched their biggest lead to that point at the end of the first quarter, 33-21, a 12-point lead. Lead got to as many as 18, Kelly. 56-38. Knicks would close the half on a 12-2 run, 58-50 at the break in favor of the Hawks. Then at 58-52, Atlanta would go an 11-2 run, boost the lead back up to 15 at 69-54. Then the Knicks would have an 11-0 run to cut it to 69-65. The lead would shoot back up to 13 before settling in for an Atlanta 88-80 lead after three. And the fourth quarter would be a slog. Hawks would lead by 11, 96-85, but seven unanswered brought it to 96-92. Now it's 101-96 with under 4 minutes left. Hawks are up. Ananobi three to cut it to 101-99. McCollum under 3 minutes with a jumper to put it back up to four. Then Ananobi, another three, 103-102 Hawks at this point. Johnson layup made it 105-102, and then Miles McBride with a splash three to tie it at 105-105 with 141 to go. McCollum blocked by Cat. Brunson, seven-foot floater, and one. Knicks lead 108-105 from 18 down. What a story. 103 left. The Knicks have come all the way back. They're going to win this game, right? No. Jalen Johnson, layup, 108-107, Knicks. Hart misses a three, offensive board. Brunson, air ball, 19-footer, shot clock violation. Hawks ball down, one, with 16 seconds to go. Will they hold it for one? No, McCollum, pull up, 3 seconds into the shot clock, good. 109-108, Atlanta. Knicks have the ball now, plenty of time. The possession is a mess from the start. Brunson tried to get it to Hart. He got penned in down below the basket. Tried to get it to Hart. Hart couldn't control it. Ends up fumbling it. Clock's running out. Kuminga steals it. Ball game. Hawks 109, Knicks 108. Up 2-1, as I said, heading to game four. And as to the question on Twitter, Kelly, how you feeling about your Knicks now?
Knicks. Knicks basketball. It's exciting. No, I will not be. I will not be chasing after them in Game Four. I will ride out the rest of my series bets and see how this goes. It is. It's bad, man. It's bad. You've got coaching staff scrambling for answers. Miles McBride, I mean, plays 31 minutes last night, puts up 10 threes, 14 shots overall.
Ananobi 29, Brunson 26 in defeat.
Yeah, look, Jalen Johnson bounced back at home, had a good game, 24-10-8 for him. I don't think that was a huge shock to see. Also, wasn't shocking to see in the first couple games holding back. Story of this series so far to me, Gil, is it is Jonathan Kuminga has found a coach that trusts him and is willing to put him in big time minutes, and he is delivering right now.
I'm going to say it every game, and people are going to be like, I think you've said that before, but I'm going to say it as a running joke. You know what uniform he really looked good in, Jonathan Kuminga? A Warriors uniform. McCollum 23, Kuminga 21, by the way.
Yeah,
I'd say McCollum is really the story to me. He's just, sure. He's just so reliable.
No, he's been great. You don't have the massive advantage on the glass like you did last game, although Cat did show up. That was nice to see. Big game, 21 points, 17 rebounds from him. Honestly, he needs to be getting up even more shots than he has. 12 shots a game. It's not enough. This is a series. I mean, the Knicks are still too good, in my opinion, I don't think this is going 4-1 Atlanta or anything like that, but I think we're going to see a lot of these tight games, and it's Knicks, you got to close. You got to close. It was a problem in game two. It was great to see you push and have the comeback in game three. But, those last couple possessions were an absolute disaster.
Brutal. Hawks get the money because the Knicks were favored by 1.5 at close. And it goes over the total, which had gone down.
Yeah.
All the way to 214.5. The other two games, Toronto and Cleveland. Toronto led by as many as 9 in the first quarter, 21-12. They led 31-25 end of first quarter, led by as many as 10 in the second. But Cleveland came back, take a lead. And it was tied at the half, 54-52. They took a lead, 54-54 at the half. Third quarter, Raptors up by as many as 7, but it was only 83-81 after the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter happened. 91-90 Toronto. The Raptors dominated the rest of the way, 35-14 the rest of the way, including 16-0 run to go up 25 at 124-99. They win it 126-104. Both R.J. Barrett and Scotty Barnes end up with 33 points, 20 Cavalier turnovers. And so the Raptors are on the board. Cleveland, home court, everybody's held serve so far in this series. Cleveland up 2-1, game four back in Toronto this weekend. And then the T-Wolves take a 2-1 lead over the Nuggets, your Nuggets. We learned before the game that Aaron Gordon was not going to play.
Yeah.
And
I had to buy off some of my bet, but I still let some of it ride, and I've got these Denver series bets. It ain't looking good.
It looked like the Nuggets didn't want to play at that point because the T-Wolves blitzed them. It was 25-11 after the first quarter. And at 43-29, they went on a 12-3 run to boost the lead to 23. It was 61-39 at the half. They led by as many as 27 in the third. They led by 20 after three. Denver never got within 12 from that point forward. 113-96 Minnesota. Jokic 27-15 in defeat. How about Dosunmu with 25 to lead the T-Wolves.
Huge.
With 9 assists. And Jaden McDaniels backs up his mess, his schmack talk, with 20-10. By the way, note this: three-pointers in this game, dreadful.
Yeah.
17-66 combined for 25.76%. So
Jokic 2-10. His three-pointer is broken right now.
So big under in that game for underbetters as well.
34% from the field overall for Denver. Right. This is pretty impressive by Minnesota.
We'll get to the games tonight here coming up, but yep. Let me just ask you this. One of the Hawks or Timberwolves wins their series. Who is it?
Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Timberwolves. I think that I even would have said that before the series, though, too. We've seen the Timberwolves do this before. I mean, quiet last night. Anthony Edwards worried about injury stuff. He was in foul trouble and he had to play 24 minutes. That's big. I mean, Aaron Gordon's out,
it's over.
It's probably
the way the Nuggets played last night felt like it's over.
Yeah, and Jokic has been, that three has been terrible.
All of a sudden, it's a short game, not great either. We'll get to the three games tonight next. And Paul Carr on soccer.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, back from behind the glass.
What did Steve do to this chair? Now I'm your little buddy, shrinking.
What did he do to it? Did he drop it down?
He's a tall guy, apparently.
Okay, you got your feet are off the ground. You're like a little toddler.
I was trying to push it up further. Sinking on me.
Let's go Cam Norrie. Cam Norrie up a break here early against Tomas Mihac. Let's keep it going, baby.
Let's go.
Let's get it. Let's keep this tennis roll going. We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate it. This is from Cody Betts, Cody Holloway. Please tell Fezzik, thank you for reminding me. Forecaster's still around. Gained another out. Can you ask him if they offer UFL? Well, he's gone, but you can
hey,
find
Steve.
Yeah, Steve. Maybe jump on there. You can tell us if it still offers UFL. Roger Jones says, "I hate to be a stickler, but Imperial Palace is not technically correct. Who could forget the quad? What was your favorite quad memory? Apparently, that's an old school Vegas thing.
Wow,
I didn't know that." Joey Kiska, thanks for the tennis info. Cashed out a few Alcaraz tickets for profit. Have some sitters working for profit. I don't know about that, but yeah, I get the idea. For those who missed it.
Let's go.
For those who missed it, Carlos Alcaraz, out of Roland Garros. He is withdrawn from the French Open, which begins late May. Tennis's second major, the clay major. So Yannick Sinner, I hope everybody jumped on Sinner when we were talking about it earlier this week. You did, Kelly Bidley.
Can't remember the last time I've been this heavily invested in a tennis tournament now. So let's go French Open and Yannick Sinner.
Why are you talking
like
that? I
don't know, man. I was just back there as soon as you told me the news, because we were trying to confirm it before Steve got on, and I was looking around, man. I don't know how often you benefit from this. It still kind of blows my mind that in 2026, like, these books, it's still the French Open. It's a grand slam. Yeah. It was like it took 30 minutes before I could get my last bet in before everybody adjusted.
I had it in 3 outs already. So I wasted time because I couldn't remember that I had him already in 2 of those.
Right.
So I was like, oh, no, that's go to the next one. I got to the 4th one and it was still up, and I was able to bet at 4th one. But by the time I got to the 5th and 6th, it was gone.
Oh my God. I'm actually going to give a shout out to one of the books, though. Shout out to Boomers, who we've brought up before.
Oh, yeah.
Because right? they were one of the first ones I went to. They still had -150 up, so I hit it pretty big. And then I got the immediate sent to the trading team message, and I'm like, we get so used to Boyd. We're like, this is going to come back as like $7. Great. And then like they took all 3 seconds. They're like, approved. I was like, all right.
There you go.
Thank you. Now they suspended everything and readjusted numbers.
They better hold true to yours, though.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
All right. And one more. Warrior 13, Matt, says, as a forever listener, I want a 24-hour Gilcast. Because Fezzik was talking about a 4th hour.
Quiet, Steve.
By the way, did you hear that? I was going to say, Kelly's not joining me for a 4th. I can tell you that right now. You really want 24 hours of me where you get questions off the cuff like, hey, do my people buy horses in your experience?
Bro, that was my favorite part of the show today, I think. You know why? Because there's been a lot of sports we discuss that with and think about it with. I've never once thought about it with horse racing.
Oh, trust me.
Never once.
I don't know any of my people who do.
I think a good job whoever runs the Circa Twitter account was listening today when I told my Fountain Blue story, because they've been tweeting at me now. Circa has.
Oh, okay.
Kind of entertaining. Because they, of course, Circa had everything going full volume here last night. They were great.
And they're open about the fact that they don't like the NFL draft. And so
you're catering to the people that are here.
They realize you got to show it. Yeah.
Your customers, man. Jeez.
So here are congratulations to everybody who rode all the NFL draft plays. I hope it was a successful one for you as well. Shout out to Felica mostly for the Ty Simpson play to the Rams. That was obviously a huge one. I didn't bet it specifically, but I bet under 24.5. So shout out to him for that one. Tennis. Hope everybody played the tennis yesterday. Today, for subscribers, again, visa.com/picks. Solana Sierra was already a winner for us overnight, +116 versus Magdalena Frick. And so that's a 5th women's play in a row. That's a winner. Cam Norrie and Rafa Hodar are the 2 remaining picks. And Norrie has started, and Norrie is up a break early against Mihac. +118. When I gave it out earlier, it moved about 15 cents. But I hope people got on that. Let's go Cam Norrie. Let's go Rafa Hodar. Reds, most wins, March, April, 35-1. Reds, Tigers today. Let's go, Red Legs. You're still in this with 6 games left. 2 wins. behind the Atlanta Braves, Orlean. That Mason Miller with another save last night when the Padres came from behind by plating five runs in the ninth against the Rockies. Mason Miller with yet another save. He's at 40 to, or I got him at 40 to 1. He's hovering right around 10 to 1 now for NL Cy Young, last I looked. And there it is from earlier in the week. Sorry, Steve Fezzik, but, you know, if you listened to the show, you would have gotten this. Sorry, it doesn't do you any good now. But Yannick Sinner, to win the French at minus 120, he's now about double that to win the Sinner, to win the French with Carlitos pulling out. Kelly Billy, what do you got?
Also, shout out to Arizona Charlies for having just a great jingle. And I said, Steve and I were talking during the break, more casinos need more jingles.
Oh, for sure. You know, jingles in general, when I was a kid,
I agree.
So much better than they are now.
Yeah.
Also, TV theme songs, way better than they are now.
Good call.
What happened to the world that jingles and TV theme songs are so lame now?
I don't know. You are absolutely right, though.
Yeah.
Arizona Charlie's Casino. I think I'm screwing it up. Yeah, the guys keep laughing at me. I can't even do it right.
I was not prepared for that.
Danny told me I had to sing it.
You got to warn me next time.
Lo siento, señor. NBA, baloncesto tonight.
A little baloncesto.
Okay, money line parlay. Pistons home. I can't even remember what day.
Thank God Fezzik's gone.
Pistons, Celtics, Rockets, plus 111.
He would not like that.
Whatevs. Pistons is home. Celtics tonight. Rockets tonight as well. Spurs, Blazers, under 219.5. Like that one tonight. Interested to see. We'll be monitoring Wembanyama news all afternoon long. And I'm in, Gil. Let's go. Sinner. 120. We bet that earlier in the week. 150, 160. Was just able to get in on
you kept
about
going.
An hour ago.
Nicely done. Well, those are all good CLV right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't seen it reposted yet. Have you?
No. I have. We had one listener, Brian Schaefer, said he saw 210 or something like that, but I haven't seen it anywhere. No, I have not.
I'm going to try to check.
Paul Carr was on earlier. Premier League tomorrow. Wolverhampton double chance versus Tottenham, plus 115. FA Cup semis. Saturday, Man City, Southampton under 3.5 goals, minus 130. And then Sunday in the FA Cup semis, Leeds to advance, plus 135 versus Chelsea. Good to see Paul Carr earlier on the show. Chris Felica, he actually had the exact same soccer play. Wolves double chance versus Tottenham, plus 110. Chris also has two horse races for us today. Remind me, Kelly, I got to do this. Keeneland, race number three, the number three horse, Unionville, 4-1. Also at Keeneland, race number nine, the number three horse, Hovland, at 5-1. Named after the great Victor Hovland, one would assume.
Great.
I don't know if those are, as Chris said, I don't know if those are the numbers we're going to get by post time, but those were where he got them. Mets, adjusted season win total, over 82.5 wins from Chris as well. And then tonight, NFL draft round number two from Pittsburgh, PA. Carson Beck to be the third quarterback drafted at minus 140. That's where he got it. But again, it's way out there now. But he also is taking a flyer, and this you can bet, Carson Beck to be selected 33rd overall, meaning the first pick tonight at 35-1, or Carson Beck to be selected 34th overall, meaning the second pick in the draft tonight in the second round at 8-1. You're on those too, aren't you? Didn't you jump on those?
Not yet, Gil.
Okay. And then college football, Michigan under 8.5 wins for Felica as well, as he sort of dips his toe into college football season win totals here and there. So there you go with that. And then Steve Fezzik, who was just on with us. Birmingham Stallions in the UFL +7 versus the DC Defenders. What's been your favorite moment in the history of the DC Defenders, Kelly?
Oh, I can answer this one. The cup snake.
The what?
Yeah, they do the beer cup snake.
Oh, I see.
In the stands.
Good for you.
Stormy Bonantoni reported on it last year.
Oh, okay.
Right. She was doing sidelines for a game. I think I'm accurate.
She's still doing UFL?
No, not this season. Do not believe so.
Okay. Fezzik also had Braves to win the NL East. He got it at plus money. He says minus 175, still good. You like that? I said Fezzik, I go, oh, you can't talk about past numbers unless it's yours. Then he clarified it for us. Minus 175, Braves to win the NL East. There you go. Those are all the bets. NBA contest continues tonight.
Hello, Steve, though. I just want to say that. We always talk about the in-person and online, Steve. If you run into Steve Fezzik in a casino, he will be one of the nicest, most charming guys you can have a great conversation with for 20, 30 minutes.
Online, Stevie, not so much. not so much.
I'll never forget, like, years ago before I barely knew the guy, like, ran into him, and then he, like, I was with some friends, and he, like, the next time I saw him, he apologized because he thought he was too short with me. I was like, dude, he said hi, and then we went on our ways. It was all good.
I want the Reds to cash my 35-1 March-April, not only for me to win all that money, but also because Stevie proclaimed the bet dead when Hunter Green went on the IL in March before it even happened. And every time the Reds win, I just murder him on the group. Let's go, Red Legs. Prop points. Prop points with Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson is next. That is followed by the aforementioned Stormy Bonatoni and JVT with Money Moves. And then Mitch and Paul with Follow the Money. Enjoy. Good luck with all the bets this weekend. From VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.